Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in Seattle, Washington, in a pastor's home. Then 1 year later, God surprised me and called me to preach. At first, I thought, no way. But, oh, I'm so glad. It was more than just a call. It was a complete surrender to the will of God. And I tell you, I wished I could tell you, Cecil Moe, every time he turned around, God wanted him to do something, he did what God wanted him to do. I can't say that, beloved, because I've made a lot of mistakes. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm happy that I did what I did. Now, I want you guys to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? And here's the thought for the day. Having problems may not be so bad after all. There's a special place for folks who have none. It's called a cemetery. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, and let's begin reading with the first verse. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die, and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in the truth and with a perfect heart, and have none things which is good in thy sight, and done all things which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Well, friends, tonight I have a message that I'm afraid that too many people will not be too interested in. But it's very important because every one of us is going to experience it, getting ready to die. Now, death is a subject that we really avoid. Death assurance is called life insurance. Cemeteries become memorial gardens, and few sermons are given to prepare for death. Now, the king was told to get ready to die. Verse 1, In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Well, King Hezekiah was sick and was told he was going to die. Now, Isaiah told him to set your house in order. Many times I have dealt with people who have been sick. And then one of these days they start, well, you know, I got to get my house in order. I got to do this, I got to do that. I'll tell you, my friend, your house will never be in order until you've repented of your sins and cried out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what the Bible says. You have to be born again if you plan on going to heaven. Well, Hezekiah was a Christian, and Isaiah told him to set his house in order. Now, the king was given no hope of living. Now, here's the lesson to learn from a dying man. That's verse 1 again. Let's read it again. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Well, the king was given no hope. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then this the judgment. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to another place and I'm going to be there for a while and my family's going to pay my way out and then I'll go on. That's not true. They're talking about purgatory, which there is no such thing. Adam was never born, but he died. Methuselah lived 969 years, but he died. Samson was one of the strongest men, but he died. Solomon was wiser than all, but he died. Death is the result of sin. Let me read to you in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Everyone that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come? Well, folks, Jesus came to die to pay for your sins and mine. Though sinless, he paid the ultimate penalty for sin. Now, he died as a substitute. See, you and I deserve. We actually deserve to go to hell. Now, the Bible says that we, in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every blessed one of you and me, listening to my voice, you have sinned. Don't try to pull that stuff you haven't, because you have. Well, you say, the atheists said they haven't sinned. They're going to go to hell. The homosexuals say, why, we're doing what God made us sin do. That's a lie. God said that if you are a homosexual or lesbian and you die in your sins, you'll burn in hell. Simple as that. No other nice way to put it, but that's a fact. Now, we read in Isaiah 53:5-6, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, for us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Oh, friends, his resurrection proves his victory over death. Now, faith in Christ assures everlasting life. Well, we are not prepared to live, friends, listen to me. We are not prepared to live until we are prepared to die. Let's read that one more time. I want you to get this. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Beloved, I told you this story, and I'm going to tell it to you quickly, about a dear lady, little Nazarene lady, was in a hospital. And she was praying every day, Lord, let me die. Take me home. Lord, take me home. One of the nurses at my church told me, you got to go there, Cecil, and see if you can talk to her. So I went over there, and I walked in. Her name was Mrs. Fisher. And I heard, oh, God, let me die. Take me home. I'm tired. I can't see. I can't hear. I can't read. I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, Sister, I've heard some selfish prayers, but that's probably the most selfish I've ever heard. She said, Who are you? I said, I'm Cecil Moe. I'm a boy going to Bible college over here, and I'm telling you, you're wrong. Well, what do you say? Why am I wrong? I said, Because when God is through with you, when you've done everything that you're supposed to do, then he will take you home to glory. Well, what does he want me to do? I said, I don't know. You talk to him about that. I'm not God. I just work in sales. Well, so this went on for several weeks. And I'd go over there and I'd talk to her and I'd pray with her. One day I went over there and she wasn't there in the room. And I said, Where's Mrs. Fisher? Did she pass away? She said, No. She's up in the get well ward. I went up there and I said, Mrs. Fisher, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing pretty good, Brother Moe. Oh, she said, I've got something to tell you. Well, I said, I'm all ears. Tell me. You remember when we first met, you called me a selfish lady because I was praying to go home? Yeah, I said, I remember that. And what did you tell me? I said, when your job on this earth is over, you will go home. She said, you know what? The other night, there was this lady at the foot of her bed, said her husband came in to pay a visit to her. And while they were visiting, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you call that man over to your bed and you tell him about Jesus. So when he was getting ready to go home, she said, sir, could I speak to you for a minute? And he said, sure. She said, do you know Jesus? Well, I guess no, I rightly don't. No, I don't know Jesus. Well, she said, you better give him your heart. So he thanked her and went home. The next night he came back. He come over and he took Miss Fisher by the hand. He said, thank you, ma'am, for telling me about your Jesus. Because I went home and I was thinking all the way home, I don't know Jesus. If I were to die, I would go to hell. I'm not saved. I got down on my knees and I told the Lord I was sorry for my sins. And I invited Christ into my heart. Thank you, Mrs. Fisher, for telling me about Jesus. Did you know it wasn't long, the Lord took Mrs. Fisher home because she had finished her job. Now, beloved, if you're a Christian and you're on earth today, you are not going home until God says you're going home. Many people have been in humongous car wrecks. They should never have lived. But they did live because God had another job for you. I don't know what your job is, brother or sister, but you sure enough got one if you're born again. We should always set our business in affairs in orders. Family members ought to be protected. Loved ones should not be left with our debts. This brings peace of mind for us now and then later. Well, listen, we should also set our spiritual affairs in order. Now, you know what it says in James 4:12. Prepare to meet thy God. Oh, my friends, we are prepared by being born again in John 3:3-5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's what the book says. Now, faith in Christ prepares one both to live and to die. Jesus makes life worth living. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Beloved, I know so many Christians that have never found the abundant life. You say, "Well, I thought after you were saved, you found the abundant life." No, after you're saved, your sins have been forgiven, yes. And you received peace in your heart. Well, the Bible tells us, then 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, you know what? In 1955, that was the year I got saved, and we lived not very far from Boeing Field in downtown Seattle. Well, there's a whole plane load of soldier boys. They were coming back from overseas, and they were getting ready to fly home to their place of where they lived in their homes. The plane took off just below my house, about a mile. There's a great big hill. Something happened in that airplane because the airplane started missing. They did not clear that hill, and they crashed and burned. The airplane burned. And only thing there was an old Bible. An old, old Bible. And it was all burned and charred. And it said, "O death, where is thy sting?" A message straight from God. Now, it tells us that life then has purpose and death gain. Philippians 1:21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is fruit of my labor. But what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is for better." Friends, listen. Paul sold out for Jesus. He sold completely out. Now I'm going to read something new. Prayer changed the king's dying date. He had already learned the value of prayer, and I read in verse 19, 14 through 18, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear opened. Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath set him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them." God had delivered him from Sennacherib's army. Now, we pray, he prays for God to give him years to live, verse 2 and 3. Now I got to go to verse 2 and 3. "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is goodness in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly." Oh, my friends, God's wonderful answer to Hezekiah's prayer was found in 5 and 6. "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord of God of David the father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of thy hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servants David's sake. I have heard thy prayer. I've seen the tears. I will heal thee, and I will add unto thee 15 years. Beloved, this is a question I'm going to ask you. Just let me have a little juice here, just a second. Is your house in order? Are you prepared for life or death? Have you been given bad news? Well, let me ask you this. Have you prayed and believed? With God, all things are possible. How many times I've talked to people who have been given up to die, only to let the Lord get in there and save them and give them a new life. You know, friends, if someone tells you after you're saved, you'll never have any sickness, sorrow, or financial trouble, you tell them you've never read the Holy Book. Because you will have trials, and you will have tribulation. But it makes us stronger soldiers. I've been sick a lot. I've had lots of operations. Do you think I love them? Absolutely not. I sure don't. But if it's helping me be a better soldier, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I pray for you to pray for my health. I do. Because I do want to stay well so I can serve the Lord. I'm enjoying this preaching. Hey, friends, I love to go into a home of a lost man or woman and tell them about Jesus. That is the thrill of my lifetime. Let me ask you, friends, is your house in order tonight? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you told him you was a sinner? Have you told him you were sorry? If not, beloved, tonight might be the very last time that God will ever touch you. This might be the last time God's Holy Spirit reaches out to you and says, "Son, daughter, I'm here for you tonight. Come with your broken heart and your sins, and I'll save you." Here's the prayer that changed millions of lives. Pray it with me if you'd like to trust Jesus. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm lost and undone. I'm so sorry for the way I treated you and my loved ones. Tonight, oh God, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on a phone call, 303-471-8534. No, I will not use your name on the air. No, I will not embarrass you. No, I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't give a hoot where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I care, but much more than that, Jesus cares for you. So I'm standing by my phone right now, 303-471-8534. Give me a call. If you can't afford to make that call, you can call me collect. I'll pay for it. 303-471-8534. I'm standing by. Well, friends, I know that this message might have made some of you upset. But, beloved, listen to me. All of us are going to die someday unless the rapture comes before. And if the rapture comes before and you're alive, you won't have to die. But everybody's going to have to. Now, I want you to realize what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He was innocent, but he took upon him our sins so that you and I could have everlasting life. Oh, what a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Well, friends, listen. I want you to pray for us. I pray for you. You see, I don't know my name, but God does. He sure does. And I want you to stay sweet. Oh, keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.